The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds, they are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
All right, it's Taz and the Moose with you here on this Wednesday morning. And I guess, Taz, I mean, I guess we got to learn a lesson yesterday.
You know,
don't always believe what you hear, which is kind of a shame that people would, you know, somebody would make up a story. So, and what we are referencing is that, you know, yesterday, you know, because we believed Richard Sherman, because I'm not watching the opening coin toss or the handshakes or anything of that. I don't even know if that was on TV, to be honest.
I don't think it was.
Yeah, I mean, really.
You know me, I love pregame.
Yeah, I know you know. I know. You see when you're at the game, and you know, I don't really. And even when I'm at a game, Taz, I'm really paying more attention to who wins the toss
than
I am the reaction of the players.
Right.
Unless a free for all breaks out, you know, or something like that.
Yeah,
and someone's dropping a forearm shimmy, you know, or whatever you call it.
Shiver.
Shiver. Thank you very much. I appreciate the clarification. but Richard Sherman comes out after the 49ers played the Browns on Monday night that Baker Mayfield, in essence, you know, didn't shake his hand.
Right.
And people ran with it. And then video comes out yesterday that Richard Sherman and Baker Mayfield actually did shake hands before the coin toss. Not after, but before the coin toss, they did shake hands. And then Sherman clarified it on social media, and this is all happening on social media, mind you, that it was a quote-unquote petty handshake. Listen, I don't know why exactly you would make something up if you're Richard Sherman and say that. And
well,
I don't think Baker Mayfield needs to shake his hand before and then after the coin toss.
No, I don't.
I mean,
usually that's what happens, but you don't have to do
that. You don't have to do that. I mean, you know, and as long as you shake his hand once, I mean, you know.
When I played football, not in the NFL, obviously, but in high school and college, and I've been a captain several times, and you always would shake hand after. I've never shook hands with guys before. That's how we did it, but this not the NFL, obviously, but so. But I, you know, we know that these guys do usually do that. I'm with you. I have no problem with him not shaking hands the second time. But you know, I mean, I'm happy with the way you started this segment here. What you said, because you're right. It's like we took this guy for his word. He's a pro athlete. He's a big time player. He's Richard frickin' Sherman, you know. And when he says this, I mean, I think a lot of folks like us that do this for a living believed him.
Yeah.
And I had a hot take putting Sherman over yesterday and burying Baker Mayfield, so now I got to, like, say sorry, I guess. So sorry,
well,
Baker.
Yeah, well, I guess, and, you know, and I guess it's not only a lesson in terms of, well, number one, why would Sherman lie? Let's start there.
I think I know why.
Why would Richard Sherman lie?
Because he looks at Baker Mayfield as low-hanging fruit, that everyone is on this thing where they're hating on him and burying him, and it makes him probably look like a babyface, meaning Sherman makes him look like a good guy. Like, hey, I tried to shake his hand, and he wouldn't do it. That's the only reason why I think he must have assumed that there was no, he didn't see cameras around him, maybe, I don't know, and no one saw it. I mean, he's supposed to be an intelligent guy. pretty dumb because he did shake the guy's hand. The guy shook his hand.
Well, but, okay, true. But, I mean, he's savvy enough and he's smart enough to know. I mean, everything. There's so many cameras out there.
Right, I know.
I mean, there.
You're right.
I mean, there's, I mean, how many guys would you say are on the sideline, you know, either photographers and guys, NFL films. I mean, they're getting all kinds of different angles for, you know, for whatever they might be working on. The idea that he would think that nobody would have any kind of video of the handshake and go out there. I mean, could it be a case of he didn't remember? Could it be a case of he didn't think about it beforehand and he's used to guys shaking his hand after the coin toss and he saw Baker Mayfield run away after the coin toss and then he said, well, Baker Mayfield never shook my hand. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to give Sherman the benefit of the doubt because I think it's really low class. You know, you mentioned it in terms of, and I'll go on the idea that it was, you know, Mayfield's low-hanging fruit. Everybody loves to hate on Baker Mayfield. Here's another shot. I could get myself and put myself in the news by saying Mayfield never shook my hand. We mentioned it. He had an issue when he was at Oklahoma with Kansas, and it wasn't just the handshake. Remember, he was grabbing his crotch on the sideline as well.
Yes.
You know, pregame, you know, to the fans and everything like that, and Oklahoma had to apologize. You know, maybe it's a case, Taz, where he said, well, I'm going to benefit, like you mentioned, I'm going to benefit off this and tell this story. But he has to know that in today's day and age where everything is analyzed and overanalyzed, that's going to come out.
I know. You're right. I can't think of any other logical reason than he assumed that maybe no one's, I don't know. Because he clearly shook hands with the guy. What did they have an embrace? No, but I mean Baker Mayfield's not obligated to embrace the guy.
No, he's not.
I mean, he just shook his hand. I mean, it was
that's
just
it.
Like,
you move on.
Yeah, that's it. And I don't know why he did this. And I wish that I would have. I know you wish the same thing that we would have seen this footage. But I don't think the footage was out.
No, the footage was not out. The camera angle I saw looked like it was not a ESPN camera. It looked like it was a video angle from field view right at the 50-yard line on one of the sidelines. I don't know if it was the 49er or Brown sideline that it was shot from. That's the video that I saw, and you clearly see Mayfield going across and shaking Richard Sherman's hand.
Right.
I mean, there might be other videos that are out there. That's the one that I saw today.
I saw that too, and then I ended up watching ESPN last night, and they talked about this real quick, and they didn't bury anyone, but they had another angle of it.
Okay.
So they had two angles of it. Yeah, he shook the guy's hand.
He
shook his hand. There's no doubt about it.
And here's the deal, then. If you're Richard Sherman, instead of going back and forth with people on Twitter and social media and saying, and now defining the handshake, no, you can't come out there and say you didn't shake someone's hands and now saying the handshake wasn't good enough.
Right, right.
I mean, now I'm going to be judged based on a handshake? Now it's a case of, you know, this is not an interview, right? Where you walk in and you shake, you know, you're trying to get a job and your hand's all sweaty, or you give a weak handshake and all of a sudden that's the first impression. And it's like, oh, you've got a mountain, a hill to climb up here in terms of first impressions. This is a handshake before a football game. I don't know exactly what Richard Sherman was expecting, but Baker Mayfield extended his right hand and shook his hand.
He did. And Mayfield, it looks like Mayfield, and I have no problem with this as a defensive player towards a quarterback, he didn't even really want to make eye contact with Mayfield. He kind of just blew him off when he shook the hand, which I have no problem with that. I'm watching it again right now. I'm watching it, the shot that you're referencing where it was behind Baker Mayfield's back and the Browns' back.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
So, he definitely shook his hands. If you watch it again, like he doesn't, like, you could see Mayfield had a little problem with him. But they're about to play a football game on Monday Night Football, and you're a defensive player that has an edge, and you're a hell of a player, and you don't have to sit there and be buddy-buddy with the quarterback. He's the enemy, you know. But don't come out and BS and lie that he didn't shake hands with you, because he did. And then a guy like me comes out here on the radio and have a hot take, burying Baker Mayfield.
Well, yeah, and we went on the information that we went on at the time, right? So, and, you know, I think, well, in a strange way, I think Richard Sherman did Baker Mayfield a favor. I mean, in a weird way, I think Baker, he's kind of, and Mayfield is not all that lovable to a lot of people, not that likable, divisive guy, is taking shots at Daniel Jones, is taking shots at the Giants, you know, went back and forth with Rex Ryan. Yeah, I mean,
they had slow-mo of him. Actually, this website looked it like three times. Look at
that. I know.
It's just him shaking hands, saying good game.
And Sherman looks at him.
As he
gives him, and it wasn't your prototypical handshake. It was kind of, but there was a gesture there.
Yeah.
But Taz, I'll tell you this. I think Mayfield's actually become a guy that maybe now you root for.
It's called a baby face rub. It's not shine, like rub in wrestling terms. Yeah, you're right. And he did do Mayfield a favor. He did, but Mayfield screwed up. He'll say something. He'll bury someone.
I get that, but for right now, if I'm Mayfield, coming off a game in which I played very, very poorly, for a team that's disappointed offensively up until this point in time, where he's not turning a blind eye to what Rex Ryan had to say on ESPN, and he's got kind of rabbit ears to what everyone's saying about him and reacting to it, Taz. I think what Richard Sherman did, makes Mayfield now saying, okay, well, I understand that Mayfield can be, for lack of a better phrase, a douche. I understand Mayfield can be a guy that's not easily. He's got this massive boulder on his shoulder and likes to tell you how big the boulder is every time he gets. But when can't make up stories.
Yeah.
You can't say something that did not happen. And for Mayfield, he's got, for those that are now maybe turn and say, well, I actually feel bad for Baker Mayfield. People hate him so much to where they're willing to take and make up a story. And Mayfield is so unlikable that nobody even gives Mayfield the benefit of the doubt before the video comes out. Think about that if you're Baker Mayfield. So Sherman goes out there, fires it out on social media that Mayfield didn't shake my hand.
We're jumping all over him.
Wait a second, he didn't? And nobody even gives Mayfield the benefit, or people can't even find video to corroborate it until you get to a point where the story has taken on a life of its own. Can't even catch a break.
I didn't even think of that part. He's so hated Mayfield that
people
just took it
and ran with it. Yeah,
you're right. You're right. That's crazy. That's when you know in wrestling.
When you know you're hated.
That's when you got heat. That's called heat in
that's
wrestling.
True. You're right about that.
And so Richard Sherman on Twitter, basically what he said was, so you don't see the difference in the way I shook everyone else's hand and the guy who stands back with a petty shake was BS, and I took offense to it.
I did at one point in time after that Seahawk Niner game.
Yeah, it's weird. Mayfield hasn't said nothing, right? Does anybody know?
I have not seen a comment from Mayfield, which I give him credit for. Maybe he's learned a little something.
I hope he doesn't.
I think for him staying out of this, Taz, and not addressing it, laying low with it, if I were him the first time, and he's going to get asked about it, I would say, listen, we're moving on to our next game. I'm focused on, we got to get this offense going. I'm not focused on what Richard Sherman thinks or doesn't think of my handshake.
Right. No, you're right. But this is an example. We talk a lot about how, if a player going to play in New York or not play in New York, this is when if – no knock on Cleveland, the great city of Cleveland, or the Browns or anything. If you're playing for the Jets or Giants and this happens, the media is going to find you after practice somewhere leaving the facility and ask you, why did Richard Sherman lie? What, they're going to pepper you, right or wrong.
I agree.
And I think in these small markets that don't happen, that's a benefit for Baker right now that he's not in New York.
Yeah, true, but the quarterback always addresses the media. The starting quarterback has at some point during the week, based on your practice schedule or whatever, it does have media time, right?
Right.
I mean, so he's, you're right about that
They're not going to wait, though. That's my point.
No, I get it. I mean, he's going to get asked about it one way or the other. I mean, the question's going to come his way. You hope that Baker Mayfield does take the high road this time and doesn't do it. And, the other thing I was thinking about, Mayfield can learn a lot from Richard Sherman, because in terms of his arc and his personality arc and his likability arc.
True.
Because there was one point in time that Richard Sherman was an outspoken corner for the Seattle Seahawks, who was going back and forth with the Michael Crabtrees of the world, when Crabtree and when the 49ers and the Seahawks had that great rivalry, Taz, and he was viewed as a guy that was not very likable.
Yeah.
And Sherman has kind of turned that around here in terms of being a more likable guy, you know, after maybe kind of getting humbled a little bit, going to the 49ers, and now the now your perception of him completely changes, and Mayfield can maybe look at that if he even cares. And he might not even give a, you know, what.
Yeah.
But he could probably learn a little bit about from Richard Sherman here in terms of shaping the way that you are viewed by other people, because Sherman certainly changed that up until his, you know, his Twitter comments post-win Monday night.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think Mayfield's going to – it's just Mayfield's M.O. He's going to have a sarcastic – once the media talks him eventually, like you said, at a press conference or something, the media in Cleveland, he's going to say something like –
you're probably right.
You know, like, I don't care if I shake hands with him or anybody. He'll say something – and he'll bury Richard Sherman. What you should worry about Richard Sherman is next time they play the 49ers, not to throw and have play catch with him during the game.
That's true.
Because that's a problem. When the quarterback's playing catch with the opposing defensive corner, you know, safety, I should say.
I don't think there's any doubt about
it.
That is an issue, and that's something that he has to rectify. And he's got to get his game back, Taz. Last year, I've seen so many people basically bury Mayfield in terms of leading, following what Rex Ryan had to say, saying, well, he'll be, he can't really play. Last year he was overrated. He can't really play. I really believe Mayfield's a player. I think I've seen too much from him as a player. Now, he hasn't played well this year, and the offensive line has not been great, and they've been manhandled up front, Taz. But I still think Mayfield's a franchise quarterback.
I'm still buying in.
He's tough to like, tough to root for, but you still believe in the talent.
Right, I do. But I'm a little closer to feeling like he might be a bust. More than you are, I think. I'm on thin ice. He's like, for me, his output as a player and what he does, I think he's a lot of sizzle with not a lot of steak.
This year, that's certainly been the case.
Yeah, that's how I look at it.
There's no doubt about that. That has been the case as well. Maybe Lincoln Riley will come to Cleveland.
Well, if you don't go to the Redskins.
Oh, stop, dude. The Tomlin Redskins deal is picking up steam. You hear that?
I didn't hear that.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, maybe a draft, maybe trade draft choices. Listen.
Wow.
That's what the Redskins are going to do now. The Redskins are going to have the worst. Here's typical Washington football. They'll have the worst record in the league, and they'll trade their first-round pick for Mike Tomlin.
You're probably right. You're probably right. Oh, my God.
That'll be the Redskin way.
Oh, jeez.
A former NFL star is going to TV. We'll explain. Get into that next. It's Taz and Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house your home? Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage.
Watched a video yesterday, Moose, on this song, the making of this song. This is Limp Bizkit.
What
I'm obsessed with Limp. It's called Gold Cobra. When you went to see them back in the day, this is one of the newer songs.
Within like the last 5 years?
Yeah, maybe 6-7 years.
Okay.
When did you go to the concert? That'd be years ago. Right?
Oh, year, that
like
had to
when
be
they were
like,
hot, right?
They were. It was
like doing the Nookie and all that stuff, right?
No doubt. Yeah. Metallica was at that.
Oh, all right. This is like 2011-ish.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was, you know, this was before I was married. I went to that.
Right.
So
right.
I'm going, anyway. I mean, we're going back 2003. 2003.
Okay. Right, so that's when they were prime.
They were a headline.
Right. Well, the thing is, like, I watched this thing yesterday. Coincidentally enough, the song's playing now, and how they made the song and stuff. I didn't know they actually have when they write when they do an album, whatever the people call it now, or it's not albums anymore. They do it in Sonoma, California, like in the mountains, and they have like a little barn. That is a tricked out studio. It's on YouTube. It's pretty cool, man. And their producer they built this whole this barn, and they made this barn into this sick production studio. Pete the Body, you'd be great working for them out in California, working in that barn.
That's pretty cool.
Doing audio? That is cool.
That is, you know, that room. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
imagine Pete out there.
No. My alley.
You know, it reminds me, thinking about like that kind of a thing, you know, because it's kind of, I was watching something on the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
They recorded, I forget what album it was, but they went out to Montauk.
Really?
And stayed out at Andy Warhol's estate.
No way.
At that time. And they recorded an album out in Montauk, New York.
I did not know that. That's yes. really cool.
And there's pictures. I mean, we're going back. I mean, there's pictures of them out in Montauk, and you know, it's a beautiful kind of spread. And,
yeah.
Well, palatial estate and a number of different like kind of little. But I mean, we're going back. Probably say 45 years ago, 50 years ago now, something like
just
that.
Just give me an idea, because you know, Montauk, Rolling Stones, legendary Montauk. For those that don't know, the end of Long Island. And as you know, Moose, you go out to Montauk in the summer a lot with your family. But the Hamptons are right over there. Everybody knows Hamptons.
Yeah.
And our friend for our show, the great New York Met first baseman and played for the Cardinals, Keith Hernandez.
Yes.
He has got a beautiful home in the Hamptons.
Correct.
I'm thinking maybe I should talk to Keith and go out and do some show prep for the Taz show for like a couple of weeks and stay in his house.
Yeah, you could be with his cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his cat. You should.
You know what his cat's name is?
Haji.
Haji, right.
I have a t-shirt with the two of them on it.
Do you know who the cat is named after, right. Mike?
I don't.
Oh.
Ali Haji Sheik?
No, famous baseball player, and it's a nickname off that player. You guys got to get this.
I don't know.
Moose, I'm surprised you don't know.
I'm sorry, I don't know that one.
Andrew Bogus is here. He don't know?
I don't.
Gil Hodges?
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Very
Beat the
nice.
Bodies, ladies and gentlemen, playing hits.
Beat the block.
Thank you.
Yes. Well done.
That's it.
Well done.
It takes a goofy wrestler to know that, but that's how
yeah.
I am. You know what I mean?
Well, the Stones reference Montauk with one of their mention the Memory Motel in one of their songs. And that's right on the main strip in Montauk.
I have not been to Montauk in years. I know you go a lot, but that's on the main strip there?
Main strip, right down. Yeah, I mean, Montauk, for those out there that don't know, it's like an old fisherman's town. It's
great.
Been built
yeah.
up a little bit more now, but there's just one road in, one road out,
yep.
old Montauk Highway.
Yep, yep.
And right when you're going into town, there's really this dilapidated, like really one-story motel
yeah.
called the Memory Motel.
Okay.
And that's you'd never stay there.
No.
But I mean, I'm sure way back when it was lovely.
Well, Old Montauk Highway, yeah, right. Funny enough, I live right near Sunrise Highway. I live close to that.
Yeah.
So if you take Sunrise Highway, let's say me and the Rolling Stones are driving down Sunrise Highway.
Yeah.
Let's say
in Nassau County,
on our way to Keith Hernandez's house.
So right, exactly. We're just partying with a convertible yeah. in the fall, but. So you go out to Montauk, Old Montauk Highway. You don't live on Long Island, but Sunrise Highway turns into Montauk Highway.
Okay.
So like you take that straight shot, Jones, for about, what'd you say, Andrew, about an hour?
Sounds about right.
It's about an hour yeah. out of Nassau County, and you're in Montauk. So our fans listening in Omaha, you're like, what the hell are they talking about? Don't worry about it. Okay? Don't worry about it. It's Montauk. It's Taz. It's Moose. The Rolling Stones and Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
And Keith Hernandez and Andrew Bogus.
And Haji.
And Haji. Yeah. That's right. So, by the way, the Haji thing, I didn't hear that from anyone. I might have made that up, but I'm just being honest, but I believe that's why. Because when I heard it, I'm thinking Gil Hodges. No, no. I mean,
but it's not spelled Haji like you'd think from Hodges. It's spelled like H-A-J-I.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's because of Gil Hodges and Pete the Body. You agree?
Well, of course he
Pete's
does.
Pete's like, wait a minute.
Well, Pete also goes to Montauk in the winter, so who cares about his opinion?
Pete was just thinking about former Mets that would make sense.
Right, it would sound like the name.
It's catcher we call Mookie.
I gotcha.
But the thing is, I
will not take that and run with it.
So I won't. I don't want to say I made it up.
Yes.
It's just I hear you. But think about it. Hodges. Haji.
It makes sense, but doesn't it?
Can you reach out to Keith?
No. Mike? Well, I did a quick search, and we have information on the cat.
It's not named.
It was named after the character from the 1960s animated television show Johnny Quest.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Here's the opportunity now for you, Mike.
Mark the tape.
I was going to say,
just edit that out of the podcast.
That's it. There's an opportunity for you, Mike, to do a little edit. And
never mind. It looks like you were right.
Want to do some post-show dubbing test?
Right.
Yeah. I'll do some VO work at the end of the show, and we're good.
That's what I said.
Yeah,
but it sounded great.
It sounded like it was in.
It sounded very. It sounded. You made up the story very well. Well done.
Hey, I could, yeah, I don't want to say.
Nice sales job.
I just because I think things are true and then I believe them. I have a very colorful imagination, and I really thought, hey, he's a great baseball player. Why wouldn't he name his cat after, who names their freaking cat Haji? You know, so it's after one of the greatest baseball players. You know,
it's not really a lie if you really believe it.
Well, I used to work for a guy that believed that sentence. His first name was Paul. His last name starts with an H, but I digress. That sentence you just said.
Yes.
That's
a Seinfeld line, Costanza.
Is it a Costanza? Oh, that's right. It is a Costanza line. You're right.
Yes.
That's right.
But it's great to know that Paul Heyman believes it as well.
I didn't say that. You did. I didn't say his name. But
I'm just connecting the dots.
Ends with a man.
I said Paul with an H. And
I don't know that to be true, but I like to believe that to be true.
I never said his name, just for the record.
That's it. What's going on, Bogus? How you doing, brother?
Moose, Taz, I'm doing well. Here's your report. It is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Who knows how different Game 4 of the ALDS would have been had the Rays not made this play in the top of the fourth last night.
Yarbrough on top. Breathes out and throws. Line drive to the gap, right center. On the move, Kiermaier can't get it. It short hops the wall. Plays the caramel. Tuve to third is being waved. Adames with a relay. Here's the throw. Darno's got it. He is out at home plate.
That's Andy Freed on Rays Radio. A perfect relay home from shortstop.
That is a terrible send, by the way.
Willie Adames. And they were sending him early, too.
And they were sending him early. That's a terrible. You have second and third, then one out.
And you're down.
And you're down at that stage. You're down at that stage. What was it, 4-0 or 3-0?
It was 3-0.
3-0 at that stage. You cannot send him there. You just can't. Because here's the deal. He hadn't hit third yet, and the relay throw from Kiermaier was going to the cutoff man. Like, I know it took a perfect throw to get him at home. I'd rather second. You ran yourself out of an inning.
Yeah. No, I agree. And people are going crazy. It was an amazing play. It was an amazing play. And it was. It was a great play. I think amazing is a little bit of an exaggeration, just my opinion, because this you're trained in this to do these. These guys do this all year. They practice these relay. I remember my son was playing Little League ball, like travel ball, like for good teams when he was young. We would work with them on these relay plays and the quick turnaround for the middle infielder to get the ball home. And I'm saying these dudes work on this spring training like nonstop. So I think the ball players, it's like, all right, yeah, it was a really strong relay. It was a good play. And to your point, Moose, they probably shouldn't have sent him from third, even though he's fast as hell, Altuve.
Yeah, I would not have sent him. And it was perfectly executed.
It was.
I mean, and you mentioned, yes, they of course, they practice it a lot and do that, and it took a perfect throw to get him. And that's going to be the debate in which someone says, well, what? I mean, look what it took to get him. I mean, you're going to run that gamble. I mean, he almost got his hand in there before the tag by Darno. I just think that's bad logic because you have second and third, one out. You're down 3-0 at that stage. Who knows how that game does play out? Even with all the hits that the Tampa Bay Rays had in that game, I mean, you're able to scratch across a couple runs there. It's a 3-2 game. You end up scoring a run later on. Maybe that game's 4-2 at that stage or 4-3 at that stage. And then you go to the ninth where they have to bring in, they're arguably their second best pitcher or, a Cy Young Award winner to close the game out. I mean, I just hated the send. Before the play at the plate, I hated the send.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. Hell of a play, though. Really good, but I do think some people are.
Yeah.
I mean, Andrew, you pride yourself as a baseball expert. You used to have a TV show on baseball. Remember that?
Podcast, yeah.
Podcast.
Right. Video podcast.
Do you think it's still being a little overhyped?
I thought it was a really tremendous throw by Adames. I mean, it's 150 feet or so, and it's a line drive perfectly.
Rope Jones.
And even like Kevin Kiermaier said, it was one of the greatest throws he's ever seen. So, I mean.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean. And it was in a huge spot.
Would you have sent him?
To be honest, I didn't think it was a bad play in the moment. I thought they needed to try and force the issue there because you don't know what happens in the rest of that inning either. You know, if Altuve is staying on third, if he's held at third and then they don't score, then you're wondering, oh, man, what could have been? I didn't hate it in the moment. My initial reaction was, oh, man, that was a heck of a play to get him at the plate.
Okay.
It's early enough in the game. I think you want to get guys on base. I don't know. I mean, I'm with Moose on it. I don't think you should have sent him, but yeah, whatever. It is what
I mean,
it is.
They sent him, and
he made a great read, by the way. He was off and running immediately, Altuve, and which I think, you know, maybe factors into the decision to send him, that he's already, you know, he's chugging around second,
flying. I get
flying.
It, but the third base coach was halfway, if you watch the replay, was halfway down the third base line. And, you know, like I mentioned, you watch that replay, before he hits third, Kiermaier, that
the ball's in the air.
The ball's
to
in
Adamas,
the air before
yes.
he hits third. Right. And I've got then second and third with one out with Gurriel and Correa coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
that's
get it.
The thing. Yeah,
you know, I get it. But
listen. I see your point. I'm just my first reaction was they had to be aggressive there. And
gotcha.
The Rays and
try and change momentum.
And you don't like it, and I get that too. But like the only play that got him out was nearly perfect from Kiermaier to Adamas to the plate.
And that's the argument to make. I got it.
So it was 3-0 at that point. After the great throw, Adamas came up in the bottom half of the inning, hit a solo home run to end Justin Verlander's night. 6 Rays relievers kept the Houston bats in check. 4-1 final. So we get a decisive game 5 back in Houston tomorrow. Today, decisive game 5s in the NL. Braves and Cardinals in Atlanta, 5:02 Eastern. Then the Dodgers and Nationals in LA at 5:37 Pacific. At the moment, the Nets and Lakers will still play this week in China, but billboards and signs promoting the games being taken down today in Shanghai. Media availability with both teams canceled, as well as a Lakers community event. All of this tracks back to Rockets GM Daryl Morey's tweet on Friday supporting Hong Kong protesters. Patriots wide out Philip Dorsett didn't practice yesterday with a hamstring injury. He's in doubt for tomorrow night's visit from the Giants. They're not expected to have running back Saquon Barkley still and could be missing tight end Evan Ingram. He has a reported sprained MCL. Steelers running back Jalen Samuels had his knee scoped yesterday. He's out about a month. A bad night for somebody's Islanders.
Here's Neal on the counter to Yurcho. Right circle. Back to Neal. One-timer score. He's got 4. It's the first 4-goal game of his career for the real deal. His name is James Neal.
Jack Michaels on Oilers Radio.
The real deal. That's James Neal.
Oh, Edmonton, a 5-2 win on Long Island, and the Connecticut Sun beat the Washington Mystics.
So you're going to start with the Islanders shots already. I mean, they're 3-4 games into the freaking season. You're already starting with the aggravation. That's what we got going
Did
on
Did I tell
here?
You that I was in the bathroom with Barry Trotz over the weekend at Nassau Coliseum?
That's your business.
Oh, that's an interesting story.
Odd, but yeah, what were you guys doing?
We were at the same...
Relieving yourself?
We were at the same show, and he was, like, standing...
You didn't say at the same urinal. I'm like,
No. But he was standing at that, like...
Hey,
you know,
can I share that with you?
Waiting
sure
to take his turn.
Like crossing streams?
And I walked past him, and then I looked back, and I'm like, that's Barry Trotz. And he, like, gave me, like, a little, like, nod, like, yeah, it's me. I wanted to be like, why do you not have a better bathroom? Like, I'm in between gates 19 and 20 at the Coliseum with all the other schlubs. Why are you not privy to like
it? Was him? Was it somebody dressed like him? Like a guy from Levittown?
Barry Trotz is a unique looking man.
He had the jacket on with the pointy shoulders. He wears his sports jacket.
He did not have a sports jacket. He had a polo and khakis on.
And this was what?
This was Saturday night, Nassau Coliseum, the Hugh Jackman musical variety show.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
And I guess he took his wife like I took mine.
What are you going to that for?
Yeah, but
that's the one that you made me.
If you've seen Barry Trotz, you know
Barry Trotz,
right?
Yes.
You know Barry.
Why didn't you call me? I would have came. We could have double dated.
I tried that once, and then you hated me because you picked tickets to a show that you couldn't go to, and that somehow was my fault because you didn't know your
$200. Okay,
price just went up.
I had good tickets.
It really did.
Price just went
Is
up.
Is there interest on that?
Right.
What kind of vig you giving me on
the vig? Yeah. All of a sudden, it was Super Bowl tickets
to go see Kenny G at Jones Beach.
A lot of surcharges at Taz.com.
Yeah, Taz. Yeah.
All right, guys. I'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We'll get into a former NFL star going into television. We'll get into that next. It is Taz and the Moose here on this Wednesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line of 855-212-4227 brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. And Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS Double Dip, a doubleheader with many of you seeing two of the most dynamic young quarterbacks in the game. Airing it out when Mahomes and the Chiefs welcome Watson and the Texans, followed by the Cowboys visiting the Jets. It all begins with JB and the guys getting you focused for football on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. So Brett Favre's got a weekly show on SiriusXM, the NFL channel, right? And, does some radio, and he's been out and about. We know that. And he had Aaron Rodgers on his radio show as a guest. Here's really? Rodgers chatting about his relationship with Matt LaFleur. Take a listen.
We've really been sharp and starting to finish some of the calls coming out. That really helps. You know, when you can anticipate some of those calls, it kind of gets you in that flow confidence-wise, and I think we really got that going.
Yeah, and so it's interesting, Taz, because we know it did not end well with McCarthy, right? And we heard all the stories there, even with McCarthy's success, Rodgers changing the play, rolling his eyes. You know, the reports out of Green Bay were, you know, when they hired LaFleur, is that they needed Rodgers to, you know, buy in, you know, and kind of, you know, be a good teammate, yeah, or, you know, kind of fall in line with Matt LaFleur. You know, the young, dynamic mind, offensive mind for the Green Bay Packers. And honestly, early on, the returns were okay. People were concerned about that Packers offense. I don't think those concerns are there anymore. You know, you've seen Rodgers, you know, giving credit to Mike Pettine. Remembering that, a couple weeks back, when they leaned on that defense to get a victory and the defense was very good. Mm-hmm. You've seen Rodgers and LaFleur kind of get buddy-buddy on the sideline, communicating. It seems like everything's working right now for Green Bay, and all the reports are being concerned about Aaron Rodgers at this stage of his career, as much as he has accomplished, a future Hall of Famer, Taz. The signs this year is he's bought in, and the Packers are a better team for it.
Well, being in first place in the NFC North and 4-1, yeah, everybody's happy, right? So, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, and it seems like LaFleur and he and Aaron Rodgers have figured out some kind of a – I don't think it's a case where Aaron Rodgers has just fallen in line as a new sheriff in town, and I'm not calling plays at the line of scrimmage anymore. Now I'm subservient to the new head coach as one of the greatest ever. And I'm Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that's the case. I know you didn't say that either, but I'm just saying I do think it's a, like, to the point you're kind of making, I do think they found some common ground, and they have a good enough line of communication. And you're right, you can see that on the sideline. I saw that during the last game, even sometimes where the series sucked for the Packers, Rodgers would come to the sideline. He clearly was ticked off. He would say something to LaFleur. LaFleur would say something back. It wasn't an argument. They were talking. But at least they're talking, you know what
correct.
I mean? And that's it. I mean, it's a game, and you're trying to win the game. They're sitting 4-1. They're at first place, and you know, and
they played well.
They played well, yeah.
I mean, they have played well and coming off a nice victory in Dallas this past weekend. I mentioned it earlier, Taz, in terms of these Tomlin Redskin rumors. After Washington fired Jay Gruden at 5 a.m., Monday morning, right before we hit the airwaves, that news came down. Here is Tomlin yesterday talking about the rumors about him potentially going to Washington. Take a listen.
I'm not worried about that, to be quite honest with you. You were the first person to mention it to me in a public setting.
Oh, that kind of tells you something right there. I didn't hear that audio. That's interesting. In a public setting.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, and that means,
clever.
And that means that someone obviously has mentioned it in a non-public setting to Mike Tomlin about him potentially. Now, that could be a buddy. That could be, you know, a loved one. I mean, you know, there's no clarification in terms of who that is. I'd take Tomlin as the Skins coach, being a Redskin fan, but I'd be very, very surprised if the Redskins are giving up assets to bring Mike Tomlin in to be their head coach.
Yeah, I know, but like you just said, and you're an angry Redskin fan. You're sick of the way things have been going over the years.
Demoralized, I would say.
You are.
I'm no longer angry.
So for a guy like you to be happy if a Tomlin would come in there, I think that speaks volumes. I think that a lot of Redskins fans that are beaten down and miserable like you, I do think they would like it like you. And I think I would hope that the Redskins front office and brass and ownership would take that into consideration. If Tomlin wanted to go, if they were going to pay him what he had to pay, if they're going to give him the power, I think he's earned the right, too, to have a lot of say
I agree with you.
You know, besides just being the football head coach, you know?
Well, that gets down to, that belies the point. You have to have somebody of significance come in to take power away from Allen.
I was just going to say, this is the Bruce Allen burial.
Yeah.
Here we go. Well, that's just another day here.
Yeah, no, but that either, and we don't talk about the Skins a lot.
But that guy's name comes up all the time.
And the last 72 hours, this is probably going to be it until they hire a coach. I mean, the Redskins, I mean, this is pretty much going to be funny. in terms of talking about Redskin football on a week-to-week basis or on a daily basis, Taz. But as long as Allen power comes, it gets taken away from him, if it takes Tomlin to come in, you know, I'd be all for it. I think that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty well documented here. I think people know that, listen to you, they've heard that you feel the major problem, the hole in that whole thing there is Allen. So, yeah, they know you want him gone. If you were the owner of the Redskins,
yeah,
if you just
oh my God,
hit the lottery or got a big contract here
wow.
at Entercom, and then you say, you know what, I'm going to own the Washington Redskins.
That'd be a big contract.
I know, huge. The first thing you would do in that press conference,
yes,
you would fire Bruce Allen.
Yes.
I think you would even wait. You would do it on Twitter.
I'd call Bruce Allen into my office at 3 a.m. I'd wake him up, send my security detail over, a car service. I'd bring him in, and I'd fire his ass.
Oh, my God.
And that would be it.
I don't think anyone doubts that.
And then I would call Amy Lawrence and break the news.
And have Amy do it on her show. That's
and
awesome.
Amy do it on her show.
Oh, see, and that goes back to the huge contract.
And Amy
from
go, we have a new Redskins owner, Mark Malusis. what do you have for us, Mark? I've just fired Bruce Allen. Redskin fans can celebrate.
Have a good show, Amy. Bye-bye.
Only one part of this story is not believable. It's the fact that we have offices here now.
The band is playing. So anyway. You would fire Bruce Allen.
I would. We'll see if there's anything to this and certainly how the rest of the Steelers season does.
He's not
play
going
out.
Anywhere. You know.
No, I know that tag.
He's not going anywhere.
I understand. Yes, I he's not. You're right.
Any ties with him and Tomlin, do you know?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Not that I know of, because he was with the Raiders for a while. Raiders, and then he was with the Bucks for a while.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
And then the Skins. So no, I don't
I don't know.
I don't think Tomlin, did him and Tomlin cross paths? Well, I can't say. I don't believe there is.
Pete the Body might know. Pete, do you know?
No.
No. So you were wondering what John Gruden's reaction would be to the firing of his brother Jay, who did an interview on ESPN and talked about he enjoying his time in Washington and talked about what went wrong. But here is John Gruden, the Raiders coach, as they're sitting at 3-2, talking about this firing of his brother Jay down in D.C.
I'm not going to speculate about it. I'm obviously very disappointed for my brother. It was a long night, you know, the last couple nights. He's worked hard. Got a lot of respect for my brother, obviously, and disappointed for him getting fired. But my dad's been fired. I've been fired. Jay's been fired. And welcome to the club, bro.
Jeez. Oh my God. That's funny. Oh, my God. Welcome to the club, bro.
Welcome to the club, bro.
Wow. Jeez. Yeah. Well, he's honest.
You could tell the affection that he has for his brother, and disappointed the way that it ended down in D.C. And you know, the other big story that came out of the NFL circles yesterday that has is you're going to get more of Rob Gronkowski.
I heard about this.
So Gronk, who is trimmed out, slimmed down, and he talked about the fact that he started to hate football and how banged up his body was a year ago. He is going to be joining. He signed on with Fox.
Interesting.
So now you're going to get more of Gronk. More of Gronk moving forward here.
Yeah, I don't know
if you love those pregames.
Yeah, I do, but I'm not a huge Gronk fan. I mean, so that's the thing. I mean, I thought he was a hell of a player, hell of a tight end and all that stuff, you know, but it's a little, the gimmick is a little over the top. I mean, Goofy Jones, sophomore, college boy, dorm city, got it with the beers.
Well, he's like frat
party.
Boy.
Frat boy city, yeah. I mean, enough. I mean, grow up already, dude. I won't do it.
No, I get it, but...
he's not going to do that on Fox, is he?
No, I don't know what is... You know, he's going to be an analyst across their NFL programming.
Yeah.
The first appearance is set for Thursday night's pregame show. That's tomorrow night. When the Giants visit New England to take on the Pats, it's expected to be 25-mile-an-hour winds and heavy rain during the course of that game as well.
Yeah, you know I know those people over at Fox.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So, whatever. I don't think it's him. I just I mean, how many guys you need? I mean, you got Howie Long, you got Bradshaw, you got Jimmy Johnson. Who I'm missing about 10 other guys, right? How many guys they got? Well, the college football, and they got Reggie Bush. That's college.
Well,
football,
yeah, Matt college. Lineup. I mean, yeah. They've
all
got
USC guys. They got.
Well, yeah, they've got. Well, they've got Tony Gonzalez.
Gonzalez, I forgot.
Right,
about
they've got yeah. Strahan. They've Strahan, got Howie right, Long, right. Bradshaw.
What guys you need?
And Kurt Benefee. Well, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be that. I think it's going to be that Thursday night pregame show that they do from New York City is atrocious.
Horrible. How long is gone off there, right? How long is out of there at that spot? That Thursday night thing. How long is that on there no more? It used to be.
But, yeah, I mean, I watched
it's
last
Bradshaw,
week.
It's Bradshaw, Strahan, and I don't know Gonzalez, who, I think.
It's awful.
Used to be long. It's hard. It's horrible. Hard.
The three comes your way next. It's Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.